It's time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt back here in studio with us. Welcome, sir.
Good to be back as always. Looking forward to being here a little more often during football season.
Yeah, so darn right.
Being around. Yeah, we're going to look at some of the poetry in the new edition of Athlon, the Journal of Sport Literature. Not all of it, and we don't have time to read fiction and like, but I always try to expand the sports that we cover. And poetry is one of the places we're allowed to do that. This is called Golf Clubs in the Trunk. And it's a really, this is a poem that's a lot more about golf than about golf clubs by Jim Daniels. We're going to read two by him. Golf Clubs in the Trunk. Random summer Saturdays during slow times at the plant, my father and neighbors, Mr. Silver, Mr. Glowicki, and Mr. Vans, disappeared at dawn while we slept. Maybe the crisp, solid car door slam echoed into dreams over those rarely quiet streets. Orange brick house upon house, stacked in rows around the factory. Later, the spill of children onto the streets, bikes and balls, and conjured dust from concrete rubble. Left to our own devices, shrieks and barks sang out random and reckless. But we had no devices, so mid-afternoon in the slump of heat when the men returned from the mysterious green, lush expanse we sometimes saw outside car windows when we were lost or visiting distant relatives, we surrounded the car as the trunk popped open, jack-in-the-box clown trunk, and each man withdrew his bags of rattling clubs in somber ceremony. Even their sweat smelled different, perfumed with green. No one said much as they slung bags over their shoulders, each heading into separate identical homes. Someone might ask their father, "How'd you do?" How can I get to the strange silent awe of it? The sports shirts and slacks, the visors and clacking spikes of gaudy shoes. Nobody ever got a hole-in-one or eagle, or even a birdie that I remember. They seemed tired and defeated. Maybe they had a couple of beers? They never went golfing much, nor spent much time with us. And we turned out okay, my father always said, shooting for par.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Very nice.
The way that turns the end is great. And this is another one by the same guy, Jim Daniels, called Solo Night Hooping. Who hasn't stood out in the driveway and shot buckets? Solo Night Hooping. Playground floodlight echoes the bounce of it, swoosh of it, catch, jump, shoot, song of it, baseline to baseline, breath, smoke, drift, you can't miss, then you do, you can't hit, then you do, no one to block your shot, no one to steal your dribble, cement slab dream, afloat, squared light, nothing penetrates, everything bounces, returns, hands, liquid, give and take, you back away, drain another jumper, just the one song drifting out of the world's one lit window.
Ah, it's perfect.
Yeah, that one really, really caught me. Next one is called After Church. I still remember this from being a kid, that you come home from church and you'd have dinner and then you just sort of wait around to get out of those clothes. And whatever you did, you just want to do it with other people, whether playing baseball, riding bikes, going fishing, whatever. This is called After Church. It's by a poet by the name of John Davis. After church, tackle, no pads, full fists punching the ball from Walker's grip, maybe punching an arm, a chin. Early autumn after church, the Lutheran boys punching it harder from us Presbyterians as if their God loved the thunk of punch, the grunt when Butkus stuffs it up in the middle. Swing pass, and I'm about to be slashed. Cymbal crash of head-on-head. Tom-tom shot. It's honest love. The grr, the huck, hectic breaths hurled against the air in the park by the lake. Me, faking left, breaking for the end zone, marked by fir cones. My ankle waiting to sprain, to lame me for weeks. So savage this ravaged afternoon. Triangles waiting at home and textbooks for me to proof them with theorems. Right now, I need a corollary or an angle side, angle boost to juice me, goose me from this grab of crash. From this grab, this crash, excuse me. Smells of sweat, someone yelling chump about to bump, Our voices have no faces in this race, this rival. The gods taking the afternoon off, humming hymns, betting on spirals, fake and fake spirals while bodies bash and lake water laps.
Ah, that just takes you right there.
It sure does. It sure does. One of the things I really like, and we've had some of these from other poets in the past, Kevin Carey, some others, is ones that have to do with people playing baseball with their fathers or their mothers or any kind of game you're learning from your parents, and that delicate way you try and teach kids not by letting it go right for them all the time, but just trying to not be a jerk, right? And to give them a chance, but to show them that difficult things take time to master. This is by a guy named Steve Denahan, and it's called Winning and Losing. Winning and losing. I can beat her every time at everything. But I let her win her fair share because that is what dads do. Except that today, when we played badminton, I didn't let her win, and she won. Nonetheless, and yesterday, when we played Connect Four outside between two purring cats, she beat me fair and square. So now she can beat me once in a while. The tables are turning. A slow waltz that will someday lead to me beating her once in a while. That will become her beating me every time at everything. And then it will all truly be lost or won.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful. I am really like that one. And then I have two more. When's that next one? It's on page 16124. This is called that's not the right one. It's the one before it. It's called Lifetime Season's Ticket. And this is by a guy named Jerry Margolis, and this goes someplace really different. Lifetime Season's Ticket. It is possible that by then the buildings might be abandoned, worth their weight in unreturned books, and that light in the dormitory, an exit light in an empty stairwell. No one will be surprised if the stands in the stadium fill with leaves and ancient hot dog wrappers the crows have taken up. Alumni will have stopped giving their annual donations, yet yearning for a new solicitation, an envelope to remember graduation. Maybe by then you'll be more used to feeling more abandoned. The paths on campus will remind you of an idea you discovered for the first time in your mind. How thrilled you felt when you read it, referenced in a book the professor said was the best place to read of it in its original lost language. Even the for sale sign, Inquire Within, appears forgotten. You never thought of buying a college or a university for cost. Never in your wildest dreams, no matter how much a cap and gown costs, how many tassels you could hang from your car's mirror. To recall the hours you spent in a library carol, reading about how not to predict the future, to take things as they come, even if you have to use a tragic word. It's possible not to forget. If you still see yourself returning for reunion, one among the many virtuous, I mean to say virtual others, who like to tell stories of senior week, of special hangovers, the love you had the courage to own up to, that last night before public safety swept the campus, when the next day and the day after the speaker said was a stadium of possibility to which you were all given a lifetime season's ticket. That's a little heavier, but we're going to end on a great note. This poem, I just loved. It's called The Last of the Baseball Barnstormers. Moving, and it has a little epigraph, moving is the opposite of dying, Buck O'Neill.
Wow.
Tall and straight, he sits in the back seat of the Cadillac, chatting with a driver on the five-hour drive to Nicodemus. First time in 50 years, he passes Kansas towns his monarchs swept through. Council Grove, Abilene, Great Bend. Circumspect, open, alive to the moment, he absorbs wheat fields, small, dying towns, silos, grazing cattle. He naps, waves at puzzled faces staring from cracked sidewalks, The Cadillac rolls through like a long cumulus cloud. If you live to 93, the past is close as the end of your nose, yet distant as that black hawk in the hard blue sky. Roads were bumpier then, diamonds hard-packed, always hot, always dusty. Life on the road, at least, it was baseball. In Nicodemus, founded by former slaves, he speaks to 48 on metal chairs in the town hall about the Negro Leagues. Wind, like the past, rattles the window frames. Buck eats hometown barbecue, strolls the main street, feigns a couple home run swings, visits a 100-year-old woman, the oldest person in town. She insists he sign her autograph book. He looks up. "I'm single," he says, "widowed, you know," with that smile, that impish smile. Throws out the first pitch of a youthful baseball game, then gathers his memories, old and new, into the neatly packed, worn leather suitcase, and keeps moving.
Man, that is great.
Yeah. I mean, Buck O'Neill, to me, is just such an iconic character, and I don't know Thomas Reynolds. I've read his work before in Athlon, but that's a great story. That's hardly all the poetry in Athlon. There's some great fiction, some wonderful, really, really fine articles on the slightly scholarly side, but really good stuff. It's a really Dale Ritterbusch, who's been on with us, has a wonderful author essay on poetry and sports poetry and the like. So, people, if you want to subscribe to Athlon, it's AETHLON. Go to the website of the Journal of Sport Literature, and you can find out all about how to get it. I know you like getting it.
Sure do.
And they like sending it to us because we have a lot of their people on. So
excellent. Next week, your friend Boyd Mefford will be here with us.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I will be coming down from the north again in time for that. Boyd's book is really a great book. They're short, articles that he's written over the years. Very bright guy with a really interesting past. A very good writer. One of the best senses of humor of anybody I know. So it'll be a lot of fun. We'll be talking about the sport of both restoring and showing mahogany runabouts and other wooden runabouts, but also the art of boating as it used to be in a former time when people used boats more for transportation on the big lakes. There were no roads around the lakes. In the Adirondacks, my wife's family still have places you can only reach by boat. They're 8-9 miles up the lake, and they were usually people of money that had those camps. I mean, there's no question about that. But they would, in these beautiful, not just Chris Crafts and Lyman's, and Gaspers and all these in the book, but it's a really, really good book. It'll be fun to talk to Boyd. I'm excited about it.
And then 2 weeks?
Yeah, Gerald Wood. We'll be talking about Smokey Joe Wood. That'll be fun. And then the week after that, September 6th, Steve Geacher with his book, Baseball, The Mid-Century Turbulent Years.
Very nice.
And I'm not really sure where we're going after that, because by about that time, the new season's books from Nebraska and Illinois and those places should be arriving.
Excellent. Looking forward to all of it. Thank you, Bruce.
You too. My pleasure.
Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday here on Downtown.